Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Greetings, beautiful people. I'm Bishop Randy Dean, back again with you. We're going to talk about my favorite subject, love. L-O-V-E. It makes the world go round. In fact, it makes the world. I am alive to love. I've decided lesser values than love don't deserve my time, attention, my centered living. Love deserves all my attention. I'm alive to love. Lesser values are just potential BS. That's why I call myself the No BS Bishop. I will not live my life in the paper thin world of BS, where I'm either BSing myself or BSing others, or baiting and switching on some level. I want to love. I want to love all things, all people, all the time, every day. I want my life to be known that He reached for love. Listen to that carefully. I'm never going to pretend to tell you that I am an expert in love. I am not. I just laugh at that because I can't claim that. But here's what I can claim. I can claim that I have put love at the center of my life. Love is my object. Love is my goal. I'm reaching for love. I believe that if I will lean as much as I can toward love, eventually gravity is just going to pull me in. Love is my target. Love is the bullseye. When I know that my life is being lived for love alone, then I know my life is credible, my life has calling, my life has meaning and purpose. My wife and I have been talking an awful lot these days of meaning and purpose. Some people call that calling. I do too. I've lived my whole life on a calling, which is rooted in meaning and purpose. And I believe everybody listening to me has one calling, love. What should I do with my life, Pastor Randy? How should I educate myself? To what direction should I aim? What profession? What college should I go to? All those questions. Everything that has come to me over the years, I have finally decided there's one answer: love. Love something, love someone, love and let love be your aim, and then everything else will sort itself out. I promise you that. Love is the one target that will get you toward your real purpose and meaning. Today I want to talk about the seven pillars of love. So I'm going to have to paint a mind picture for you. So bear with me. I'm going to be a bit of a digital radio recording artist here. I can't get out a brush or a sketch pen or pencil and draw something. But what I can do is with my words, I can draw a picture. So hang in there with me and see this picture. If you could see an enormous concrete plate, let's say this thing weighs 10 tons. And on this concrete plate is written in all kinds of colors and beauty the word love. The word love is just abstractly all over the basin of this plate, this concrete plate that weighs 10 tons. Now then, we take a crane and we lift that concrete plate up in the air. Let's say we lift it up 3 stories up. And now we're going to hold it in the air with a crane, and we're going to put 7 pillars to hold up that big bowl of love. What will hold love in place? Well, I propose we need 7 pillars to this enormous, beautiful work of art called love, this big bowl or plate, if you will. 10 tons worth. What will hold it up? Now, I want you to know that if I'm going to hold that 10-ton object in the air, all 7 pillars are going to have equal responsibility to hold it. There's no one pillar more important than the other. They are each one load-bearing. You know what that means, right? If you're in a remodeling project in your home, there are certain walls that have load-bearing pillars behind a wall. You can't take too much of that wall out, or you lose the load-bearing capacity of what's behind that wall. You've got to hold up the second story. You've got to hold up whatever's just above that load-bearing wall. In my picture here, I want you to see that every one of these seven pillars are load-bearing. They're equally important. You can't take one out and expect this bowl to just hang in the air, this 10-ton work of art called this bowl or plate of love. Each one of these pillars is vital. So as I go through these seven pillars of love, I want you to understand I'm not making one more important than the other. In fact, I see them as interconnected in such a powerful way. They need each other to hold love in place. So in that notion of interconnectedness, the first pillar is connectedness. To be connected. To know that as human beings, we are all in this thing together. We are connected. There's a connectedness to all human beings. There's no one human more important or less important than the other human. From the homeless person on the street to the richest billionaire in any company or penthouse in the world, we are interconnected. We are vitally human together. You can't move one human out of place and say that humanity, it needs less of that person without weakening all of humanity. Love is held up by recognizing we are interconnected. And when I see somebody in trouble, it calls me to understand I'm in trouble. Not because I specifically have the direct issue of trouble, but because another human being has trouble, I have trouble. This isn't about seeing somebody else and knowing, well, they're getting what they deserve. Well, I'm just going to go on about my life and be unaffected by their pain. It don't work that way. We humans are interconnected. What happens on the other side of the world eventually comes to my world on some level. Even if it's microscopic, it lands in my atmosphere, large or small. We are interconnected. Love is held up by one of these pillars of interconnectedness, that beautiful tapestry of humanity being connected. Second pillar of love is humility. I can't say enough about this. I really know that in my own life, when I've made mistakes, it's when I've been proud. When I've got things that I regret, it's because I was proud and arrogant. I have never, however, been regretful of anything I did in humility. It may have been less than the desired outcome in my own mind, but if I walked in humility, if I walked with a true measure of myself, stayed right-sized is what some people call it. Stay right-sized. Just be Randy. I don't have to be everything to everybody at all times. I'm going to stay right-sized. Humility means I'm staying right-sized. It also means that I'm thinking less of how important I am and more of how important all of us are together. Less of how important I am and more of how important we are together. Another person has said, I wish I had known who said this, but I've heard it my whole life. Humility isn't less of yourself, it's thinking less about yourself. It isn't trying to diminish you inside of you. It's just thinking right-sized about yourself. It's not diminishing you and calling yourself names internally or looking in the mirror and saying, "I hate how I look," or "You're such an idiot. What a dummy." That's what I'm saying about thinking less of yourself. But thinking less about yourself is what we are being called to in the significant support of love. Knowing that when I'm humble, I recognize that we are all together holding this giant 10-ton plate of love in place. Number three pillar of love is forgiveness. I've said this how many times here in the last few years on the No BS Bishop? Forgiveness. Forgiveness is not forgetness. I don't believe that. It is impossible to forgive and forget. I have a good ability to remember my pains. I have a good ability to remember. Listen, I'm 68. I remember distinctly in 7th grade or 8th grade, whenever it was, when a young man just pulled back and punched me square in the face by surprise. I mean, he hit me so hard, I didn't think about today until tomorrow. It was painful. I started swinging at him, but all I could do was swing at the air because I couldn't see a thing. I can remember that vividly. Now, do I forgive this guy? His name was Marvin. I forgive Marvin, but I'll tell you what, I remember what Marvin did to me. Same is true for any lesser transgression in our life. We will always remember that punch to the face. We'll always remember that emotional punch to the face. We'll always remember that moment when somebody did that painful act or spoke those ridiculous words that just seized our heart. But forgiveness means I'm not going to give you free rent in my mind by creating a scenario of needing vengeance, to need a pound of flesh. I don't need a pound of flesh for Marvin, who punched me in the face in the eighth grade. What I need to do is let it be known that I know Marvin had some kind of issues in his life that made it important for him to punch me in the face. And that, you know what, from that day till this, I'll remember that punch, but I'll also know Marvin had other issues in life. My forgiveness knows how, going back to the first pillar of love, how interconnected we are as human beings. Every human connected to the next. So when you're having a bad day on some level, that bad day is going to step into my life. And what do I do with that? Forgive. I can remember the event. I can build boundaries that are healthy for you and for me. But I will forgive it, knowing that you're just as human as me, and I'm just as human as you are, and I've probably said or done something along the way that punched you in the face, emotionally or physically, and you're going to have to walk your forgiveness toward me going forward in life. The fourth pillar of love is so vital. It's gratitude. Being thankful. Knowing how to routinely say thank you. At the end of every No BS Bishop we talk, I present to you the opportunity to look somebody in the eye, make it weird, and say I love you. I think it's as important for the expression of gratitude to be like that as well. Don't just throw a thanks out there with just sort of a wink and a nod. You know, don't be so slight with it. Be intentionally slow. Slow down the words. I don't like using the word thanks. I like to say thank you. It's not to say that I'd never say thanks. It's just that I'm aware that thanks is sort of an abbreviated way of being grateful. And I don't want to be abrupt or abbreviated in my gratitude. I want to say thank you. In fact, I sent an email out to some volunteers that are vital in my life. Oh my goodness. You know, as a lifelong pastor, I can tell you volunteers are the lifeblood of any nonprofit organization, any church. Volunteers make you look good. And when they do, you as a leader have to know how to intentionally say thank you. So I sent an email out last night to a few volunteers, and the heading on the email said, beware, gratitude ahead. Now, and I said it that way, tongue-in-cheek. First of all, I wanted their attention that, beware, gratitude's coming at you. I meant it in a fun way, but I also meant it as to please read this. And I just expressed in one paragraph how valuable these people are to me. And I do that because it does me good. It helps me to think. When I show gratitude, I'm thinking about what others have done for me rather than what others haven't done for me. When I'm being grateful, I'm thinking about how life has been so good to me, not how life has been so bad to me. Gratitude pulls me out of my funk, out of my self-centeredness. Gratitude pulls me into the other pillars of love, connectedness to other people, humility, knowing that others have contributed so much to my life. Forgiveness, gratitude puts me into forgiveness. But gratitude does this. Gratitude pours value on people of value in your life. If you want more people of value in your life, invest in the currency of gratitude. And know that when you do that, you're investing in you. You're keeping your soul free and light and humble and joyful. There's so much here about gratitude. Gratitude shouldn't be a subject at church just when Thanksgiving comes up. Gratitude needs to be a consistent devotion. Gratitude about the events, the smallest event, the happiest slight moment, along with the great joyous happy moments. Everything needs to come back to something that says, I'm so grateful for that. Somebody told me not long ago, in fact, it was at a friend's funeral I went to a week ago. They just looked me in the eye with a slow, intentional, loving gaze and said, we're so thankful for you. So thankful for your place in our life. Wow, that just puts me in such a good place. It puts me in such a productive place, a place where I just want to keep fighting on in life. You know, we're all fighting a battle, right? And you know the best way you can fight a battle is for somebody to come along and tell you you're doing a good job. And the other thing that keeps you fighting a good battle is recognizing everybody around you that's fighting their battle, or they're fighting on your behalf, and you look at them and say, thank you. Slow it down, look them in the eye, and say, thank you. That's the fourth pillar of love. The fifth pillar of love is joy and humor. I'm addicted to humor. I'll confess. I need to chuckle once in a while. I need just to smile. I've learned something though lately. Medical science tells us that if you will just smile for no reason, no apparent reason whatsoever, just smile, your blood pressure drops, you know, even small, in a small perception, but your blood pressure will drop if you just smile. And then if you smile with a connection to something that really was genuinely pleasant or humorous, your blood pressure gets even better. All that is to say, joy and humor are a part of the human experience. Do you ever think about how many songs are written in a funny way, or how many programs on TV, Saturday Public Radio is just one of my favorites because there are so many good humored programs, broadcasts on Saturday on public radio. All that is to say, we are each one of us joy starved. We're each one of us humor starved. We need a giggle. We need a guffaw. We need a belly laugh now and again. We need a good being tickled once in a while. To say that something made you happy and then you showed it, let your face show it. Remember the kids' song? If you're happy and you know it, show your face. Let tell your face if you're happy and you know it. Listen, joy and humor are a pillar of love. Love needs smiles. Love needs joy. Love needs the humorous touch of just that pleasant, lighthearted moment. It's one of the pillars of love. All right. Number six pillar of love is quiet. Quiet. I'm convinced in 21st century, we are living a 24/7 noise, and it's not good for your soul, not good for your mind, it's not good for your body, it's not good for love. To be quiet is to still down the noise. I'm not even talking here about necessarily physical sound waves. I'm talking about the internal sound waves. Quiet. Shush. Make something in your house a place where that's where you go to be quiet. One of the reasons my wife and I love summertime is we love our deck. Our home is situated on the opposite side of a valley that we can look out and see 3 to 5 miles in some directions. And that moment of quiet where we just hear the birds singing around us. But all we know is the sweetness of the breeze that's nearby. That quiet in a summer evening moment on our deck is so good for our mind and soul. And it's good for love. Love needs quiet moments. You all have heard the notion that some of your best friends are people that you don't have to say anything to. You can be in a car with them and go on a 2-hour trip, and you don't have to have a long, carried out conversation. You might, but it's just as easy to be quiet as it is to talk. One of the beauties of quietness is it leads to reflection. And maybe this ought to be an eighth pillar of love is reflection. But listen, quietness and reflection are twins. To be able to reflect in a healthy way, to reflect on what you did well in any given day, and maybe to reflect on what you regret and to own your regrets. To if you made a mess, go back and clean it up. But quietness will take you there. I would urge each of you listening to me to know that quiet is one of the things you're probably hungry for and you don't even know it. And your love is probably waiting for some quietness so that you can feel, you can honestly embrace the love you feel for a project, a person, or a purpose in your life. So seven pillars of love. First one was connectedness. Second one's humility. The third one is forgiveness. Fourth one is gratitude. The fifth one is joy/humor. And the sixth one is quiet. But the last but not least is the seventh pillar of love is creativity. To be creative about love. To let your love have some creative expression. You see, I'm gonna tell you a little something about this particular broadcast. I'm not just particular, but this whole project of the No BS Bishop, I'm Alive to Love. This came out of a need in me to be creative about my ability to speak about love. I've always needed a pulpit. You know, I'm a preacher. It's a job hazard as a preacher to be able to say something. Well, when a few years ago I decided to step away from a physical pulpit after 30 years in one church, it became clear to me that I was missing a little something in my life. And that little something in my life was the Sunday morning or Wednesday night ability to stand in a pulpit and speak. So I had to get creative. One of the pillars of love is to be creative, whether it's about a project or a purpose in your life or a person in your life. To be able to say things in love that haven't been said or maybe never been said, haven't been said in a while, or they've never been said before. You've heard me tell a story here about when I was 18 years old and I was early in college and my dad fell deathly ill. He called me up into his hospital room one night. I mean, he didn't want my brother or my mom there. He wanted just me. Well, at 18, maybe 19, I was a little nervous about that. I didn't know what Dad was after. But he called me up into his hospital room after facing life and death issue. And he took my hand and he said, "You know, I realize that I haven't made it clear to you that I love you. I've never said, I love you. I do love you, son, and I'm proud of you." Now, let me tell you, that was for my father like a Mona Lisa painting. That was his Michelangelo, the Statue of David. This was for my dad a very creative moment. He was not that kind of guy. But so when I saw his creativity, listen to that carefully. He wanted me alone in that hospital room with him. That never in our life happened before. He was thinking it through. It made it all the more valuable to me. And then he made sure he had my full attention. That's why I do every No BS Bishop. I say, "Let's go ahead. Slow it down and say, I love you," while you make eye contact. So that moment with my dad in that hospital room changed my life because my dad got creative. And that creativity supported this big 10-ton plate of love in my life. So that's what we've been working with today, the seven pillars of love. And I started this by talking about, imagine a plate or a bowl of concrete that's made of concrete, and it's just 10 tons of weight. And we hold it up in the air with a crane, and then we put seven pillars below it to hold this thing up in the air. And in the middle of this bowl and in this plate, it's painted in so many psychedelic colors and beauty. How do you support that bowl, that plate of love? You do it with connectedness, humility, forgiveness, gratitude, joy and humor, quiet, and creativity. Now we're going to close this No BS Bishop broadcast with a practice that we do every time. Breathing. Breathing deep Pull it all in through your nose and exhale out your mouth. Pull all that air you can into your lungs and hold it down in the basement of your lungs. Here we go on the count of three. One, two, three. Breathe in. Hold it in and exhale. I want to challenge you to learn how to do that every day. It'll slow you down. It'll give you some peace and rest. Trust me on this. I need it once in a while. My wife reminded me just the other day. She said, okay, breathe. And I did. It helps so much. The second practice is very connected to that last idea of creativity, which comes from that event in my life when I was 18 or 19. And my dad said, son, I realize I've never said it. I love you. I want you to find somebody as soon as you can. Maybe right now you're near somebody. I want you to make full eye contact. Oh yeah, it'll be awkward. You'll feel nervous. You'll want to dodge their eye, but don't do it. Just hold their eye contact and say with complete intentionality, I love you. It will make a difference. It will support the pursuit of love in that person's life in ways that you can't even imagine sitting there right now. Thanks for being here again today. I'm Bishop Randy Dean. I'm alive to love. Lesser values than love to me can devolve into BS. And I don't want to live in that ether dark world of lovelessness. I want to live in a wide world of full of love. I've never claimed to be an expert on love, but I am a pilgrim on my way to the top mountaintop of love. Join me, would you? Every Saturday and Sunday here on this station at this time. And know this, that we are each one of us put in this world to do something beautiful. You know why? Because ugly, oh baby, ugly has been done to death. Let's do something beautiful. Let's make love the atmosphere, the oxygen of everybody's life that we encounter. May everybody know they were loved in some small or great way when they encountered you or me. I'm so happy you were here today. God bless you, and know this, I love you. Thanks for being here today.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.